Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
So if you'll go with me to the book of John, chapter 4, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. I want to talk to you this morning about the house that worship built. And as you're turning there, if you would just look up this way for just a moment and let's just worship the Lord in this manner. To all you Gators, it's been a good day. Alabama beat Auburn. FSU beat Florida. Hallelujah. There was a new emoji that was come out I saw last night that they made for Florida, the peace sign. And then I got confused because that was the number of points that Florida made. But let's talk about the house that worship built. In the book of John, here's what it said. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Let's just stop right there for a moment, Liz. It's not in my notes, but I want to say this. Go back to it. Yeah, there we go. I believe that there are some people who don't even realize why we worship. There are probably people sitting in this room who think that all we do, that when we sing, it is just to put filler in so that you wouldn't have to get up, get dressed, come here just for a 30 to 40 minute sermon and go home. No, there is a reason why we worship. We worship because He is worthy to be worshiped. We worship because He is worthy to be praised. And He said if we didn't worship Him, immediately the rocks would cry out to Him and worship Him. So Jesus was saying, you know not why you worship, but we know why we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. I can tell you why I worship. I worship because Jesus saved me when I wasn't savable. That Jesus loved me when I was unlovable. That Jesus loves me and saved me when I couldn't save myself. Verse number 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. How many knows there's a difference between singing a song and worshiping the Father? Have you ever heard somebody very trained in singing and it was good, but it didn't move you like somebody who worshiped the Father? I've heard people that couldn't sing very well, but was a worshiper and touched me just as much. It's wonderful though when you get somebody who is well trained that can sing and or play and that they're a worshiper. He said, "For they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." He's looking for it. Here's why. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching anointive and effective in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Many years ago, we had a remodeling project here at the church, back here on these portables. Back in 1998, we acquired these three portables on the backside over here. And we had to remodel them. And we put together a demolition crew that I was in charge of because I don't know how to build things, but I know how to tear it up. And so we worked with amazing speed. Walls came down, ceilings were ripped out, carpets were thrown away. And within hours, the main part of one of the portables that we were working on was set in the dumpster in the front of the yard. All that was left was a hollow shell a structure that had stood for years as an office for very important people at Progress Energy at the time would come and go. And they served in these offices, but in a matter of hours, we were able to tear down these offices and cause it just to be a shell. It's amazing how quickly you can tear something apart. A building, an idea, even a life. It's amazing how easy things can turn around. That was a momentous time. It was exciting. It was exhilarating. It was a day of destruction and we enjoyed it. How many enjoy sometimes you get to take out your frustration? I love tearing stuff up. I knew that I wasn't a builder and many of the men knew that I wasn't a craftsman. And I realized that they realized I wasn't a craftsman, that once when we started putting things back together and they asked me to go to my office and pray for them. They were very kind. But since that day, I have had to make a many of choices through crisis. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have to make choices, and sometimes you don't have a long time to think about them. Sometimes you got to make choices in crisis. And in remodeling and then in constructing, I realize that it's so much easier to tear down than it is to build up. And I have a choice that you have to make sometimes on whether you're going to tear down or build up. And I'll never forget on a September of 2007, the builder of this building coming into my office and my world was threw into a whirlwind. I won't bore you with all of the details because sometimes it still is fresh in my life. But let me just say that I had a choice to make when that contractor walked into my office and dropped the biggest bomb I have ever had to endure at the time. I had a choice. And you always have a choice. You could either panic or you could praise. You can panic or you can praise. But here's the deal. I had learned years ahead, years before, that nothing is a surprise to God. I want to say that one more time. Nothing is a surprise to God. How many has ever got those bad surprises you didn't want, but you got them anyway? Nothing is a surprise to God. You got the pink slip. Well, it wasn't a surprise to God. You got your walking papers. It wasn't a surprise to God. You came home and your spouse was gone. It wasn't a surprise to God. Or you maybe found them with somebody. It wasn't a surprise to God. He is not afraid of the outcome of any trial or any hardship that you may have. It did not take God by surprise. So what you need to decide is where are you going to rebuild this house? Are you going to panic or are you going to praise? My first point is simply this. God is looking for worshipers. God is looking for worshipers. I had learned that the Father is looking for worshipers. So when you're desperate to find God, stop what you're doing and worship Him. When you're desperate, when you don't know what to do. Now I wish I could tell you that when you don't know what to do, stop and worship and the answer's going to come and it's just going to be bam, thank you ma'am, it's there and you're going to know what to do. Not always. But I can promise you that if you will worship, He said, I seek such a people to worship me. What is God looking for? He's looking for somebody who will worship Him. And if we will worship Him in spirit and in truth, He will find us. And I promise you that our decisions will be better when we make them in the presence of the Lord. You see, at that time, in that September of 2007, I was desperate to find God. So I started each day with worship. And you know what? There's something I still do. Every morning when I wake up, I don't go, good God, it's morning. I say, good morning, good God. Good morning, it's a good day. And almost every day of my life, when I get up, I will thank the Lord for giving me another day. I will ask the Lord to, Lord, be in my life today. I invite you to be an ever-present help in my life. Because I'm going to make decisions today that affect other people other than just me. Not only do I want to make good decisions for Ronnie Reed, why? Because I like him a lot. But I want to make good decisions for everybody who's involved with Ronnie Reed. So therefore, I start my day with praise. I start my day with worship. I trust that my Father will not only find me, but then will direct me. Can you say amen? I knew that if I lift up my soul and my voice into God in praise, that not only would He hear me, but He would come to where I am. Why? Because Thomas David said that He inhabits the praises of His people. So when I worship and when I praise, God comes to where I'm at. If you're in a situation, if you're in a crisis, praise and worship God and let Him come to where you're at. He said, in my presence there is fullness of joy. Good preaching, Pastor. Now listen to me. Authentic worship leads to authentic encounters with God. I've met people who say, you know, Pastor, I really don't know if I've ever encountered God. Then I'll say, then you've never really worshiped God. Because He is a rewarder, according to Hebrews 11:6, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if you worship Him, then He will find you. If you worship Him, He will be in your presence. This test that I went through in 07 set the stage for a God encounter. I believed that our church and I were about to witness the miraculous and the provision of God, who sees to our needs and cares for every detail of our life. I want you to hear this, that God cares about every detail of your life. That God's got an opinion on most things. You know, my wife and I would never fight if she just didn't have an opinion. But she's very opinionated. And she don't mind telling me what her opinion is. And sometimes, don't you leave me out here by myself, men. Sometimes I don't want to hear her opinion. I just want to do what I want to do. Amen? Like yesterday when she wanted me to watch a Hallmark movie. Father God. We were into a 2-hour movie, 4 minutes. I stopped the movie, told her the plot, and exactly the way I said it was going to happen. She said, how can you do that? I said, because all Hallmark movies are the same. Amen. But as a good husband, I sat there and watched it and smiled. Bored out of my mind. Every morning in private worship, you ought to surrender your life to God. Resist the urge to complain. Resist the urge to complain or even to ask God for anything but His presence. So many times we come into the presence of God and all we do is ask Him for stuff. Wouldn't it get old if every time that somebody came into your presence they wanted something? You know, I have 2 children and quite a few other adopted children. And it would get old that if every time they came with their hand out. Why? Because it would mean that once my money ran out, so would their affection run out. But it's wonderful, and my kids do this, but it's wonderful when they just want to come and sit on the couch with Dad. Matter of fact, you know, my youngest one is probably a little bit worse than the oldest one, but she'll come home and she'll go, and we have a love seat that puts out into recliners because we had to do that to save our marriage because I love recliners. And so, but my daughter will come in and go, "Mom, can I sit by Dad?" And Mom will say, "I married your dad to be with him." "But Mom, you have him all the time." And I love to hear this discourse go back and forth. Now, it would be different that once if she got by me, she would say, "Daddy, I need 40 bucks." But it doesn't. Sometimes she just comes and she holds my arm and she puts her head on my shoulder. And she said, "Oh, Dad, I could sleep here all night." And then I say, "I can't. You're burning me up. I'm hot. Get off of me." But how many know what I'm talking about? It's wonderful, though, when they want to be in your presence for who you are and what you mean to them. God is the same way. And when you invite Him into your life and, "Lord, I surrender my life to you. I just want and need you in my life." And worship Him as my source of strength, my source of courage. And without fail, by offering praise and thanks, my dread is replaced with peace. The peace of God has dried my tears many a time. The peace of God has helped me focus. I felt grounded, steadfast, confident. And that built my faith for prayer. When you know that God is with you, it's a lot easier to pray in faith knowing that God is with you. All right? So most often I prayed with thanksgiving for God's faithfulness. Can I tell you that thanksgiving is the door to open up the windows of heaven, to open up the treasures of heaven? Did my problems disappear? No. In fact, it took 10 more months for this one situation with the builder. It took another 10 months before it got done. But you can still worship Him in the midst of what you're going through and have peace in the midst of hell. Ah, somebody needs to hear me. But it takes being thankful. Can I tell you that you have to look for things sometimes to be thankful for? It takes no effort to see the obvious. The Apostle Paul calls those problem things light and momentary troubles. See, point number two is this. When we worship God, we are aligned with God's throne. When we praise Him and worship Him, worship aligns us with the throne and the presence of God. When we worship, you know, because when I don't worship, my mind is not on God. But when I worship, My focus becomes focused. My focus becomes laser and not just broad. I don't see all of the things on my periphery. I begin to see God. In the book of Isaiah, we read of a vision the prophet had of God's throne. He said, "I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." Isaiah 22:3 says, God, He says that He is enthroned on the praises of His people. In other words, the throne of God and the presence of God are in alignment. If you want to see God, then begin to worship Him. Begin to praise Him. Now, Pastor, have you ever started out just singing songs? Oh yeah, we do that all the time. You know, I start out singing, but end up worshiping. Does that make sense to you? That there are many times, you know, there are many, and I'm the pastor. If you don't know who I am, I'm the pastor. And I see things that nobody else sees. I hear stuff that nobody else hears. When I'm in the service, I'm looking for, I see distractions. I see other stuff. I see things I wish wouldn't happen. I see stuff, you know, I hear things. I see when lights are not on. I see when the words are not up there correctly. I hear the wrong note. I do all that. And if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in the things around me. I get caught up in the work of the Lord and lose my worship of the Lord. So that's sometimes when you'll see me, my eyes closed, and I'm worshiping, I'm not thinking about anything that needs to happen other than the presence of God, because I know in His presence, not only is there fullness of joy, but there is freedom and there is liberty, and that's what I need in my life. I need the presence of God. Let me go ahead and tell you. You may say, well, you know, preacher, you don't know me. You need the presence of God. You need the presence of God. Does it mean that if we do not praise God, there will be no place for His throne? No, not exactly. But it means that when we praise Him, we come under His throne and bring ourselves into the alignment with His authority. That whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Everything that we need is awaiting for us at the foot of God's throne. Did you hear that? Everything that we need is waiting for us at the foot of God's throne. So each day through worship, align yourself with God's throne and await yourself, avail yourself to of His amazing grace. Because it's there, it's needed. Matthew Henry wrote this. He said, it is a throne of glory before which we must worship, a throne of government under which we must be subject, and a throne of grace to which we may come boldly. You know, it's amazing to me how many people want to come under the grace of God and the blessings of God, but not the authority of God. My good gracious alive. I'm amazed at how many people want the blessing of God and the glory of God, but not the authority of God. Why? Because when you come, you know, how many, don't raise your hand or don't point them in if they're here. How many kids do you know, or maybe they might be your kids, maybe you was one of them, that go, bless God, I'm my own man. And you still living at home. You ain't your own man. You ain't your own woman. I'm a grown man. I'm 18 years old. You got a J-O-B? I'm not talking about the book of Job. I'm talking about job. You got a J-O-B? You ain't grown. Do you live on your own paying all your bills? Amen. I got a daughter who's almost grown. Why? Because I still pay a couple of bills. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? But you know what? Here's the deal. If I think that God is my blesser and I'm living under His roof. Oh God, help me. I got to quit. Let me just go on and say this. I don't care how old you are. You 37, 47 years old. You live under my roof. I don't even care if you're my child. If you live under my roof, there's some rules that you're going to abide by as long as you are under my roof. Well, I won't be under your roof. Well, good. Get out. Amen. I'm just saying. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, everybody can't be right. You're wrong. But as long as you're under my roof, there's some rules. Amen. Well, I don't want to kick my child out. Kick them out or make them, you know, they're going to make your life miserable. I told my children, you ain't ever got to get out of my house as long as you abide by my rules. When you don't abide by my rules, as long as I'm paying the bills in this house, they're my rules. I don't care if they're even fair. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I don't care how fair they are. They're my rules. But yet, somehow, we won't to change it when it's God. God, I know that everything I have is because of your grace and your mercy. I know that the life that I have is because of you. That's right, preacher. No, you too. Well, I worked hard for mine. No. God gave you the ability. God gave you the aptitude. God gave you what you've got. I don't care who you are. God gave you that. You might have worked hard, but God still helped you get it. All right? So as long as God is your Father, then you ought to abide under His rules, His authority. The Bible says in Isaiah or James 4 and 6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Here's another way of saying it. Pride is a repellent of grace, but humility attracts the grace of God. All right, I'm so supposed to be done. Come on, give me the next one. Worship is an act of humility. Worship is an act of humility. Worship is a declaration of dependence on God's admission that God is greater than we are. That's what worship is. God, you are bigger than I am. I am dependent upon you. All right, I got to quit. Just go through it real quickly. We come humbly because we know we don't deserve God's mercy, and boldly because we don't need to fear his wrath. Give me the next one. We are much more likely to live in the king's favor when we sit at the king's feet. Ooh, child, listen to that. We are much more likely to live in the king's favor when we sit at the king's feet. Is that my last one? Paving the way. Come on, go ahead. Worship prepares our hearts for prayer. Worship prepares our hearts for prayer. Worship encourages us to pray. It doesn't take the place of prayer. It encourages us to pray. Come on. Unlocking the treasures of heaven. My last one, I think this one. Worship unlocks the door, the treasures of heaven. Treasures of love, peace, wisdom, strength, hope, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, and an eternal inheritance. Well, Pastor, I wanted to unlock the treasure of money. Well, listen, money can't buy you love. Money can't buy you peace. Money can't buy you wisdom. Money can't buy you strength, hope, forgiveness, kindness, mercy. But the treasures of heaven. I would rather be a pauper on this earth and a king in the heavens than vice versa. Stand to your feet with me this morning. The house that worship built. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you want to know Jesus and you don't, just lift up your hand. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Anybody in this building?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.